Who we are as human beings is very straightforward, and it's simple and not mystified at all. We don't need to be in any special circumstance to understand who we are in the deepest and most profound sense. And we don't need to be in any special circumstance, behave in any special way, hold our body in any special position, have any special thoughts or feelings. None of that is required for us to understand, not only understand ourselves, but directly experience ourselves and live as the most profound of what we are. And in our lives, we make a very important choice in every single moment. And in that moment, we, as self-knowing awareness, exercise a choice to either live fully from the basis of that awareness or to be involved in all the points of view of that awareness. So this is very simple. I cannot overemphasize how simple it is. And this election of self-knowing awareness, which is entirely and totally free in every moment, this election of self-knowing awareness is to either rest as it is or to spend a lifetime involved with countless points of view. Now, all these points of view, no matter what they are awareness as well, just like the luster of the sky is inseparable from the sky, so points of view are inseparable from awareness. So I'm not suggesting that we need to get rid of anything, get rid of the points of view and hold on to awareness. When we rest as awareness more and more, we realize that all of these points of view, no matter what they are part and parcel of our basic space. So, you know, if we wanted to call ourselves anything as human beings, we could say we are aware basic space. There's no need to say anything about it beyond that. If we say much about it beyond that, then we get lost in a story about our true nature, about who we really are as human beings. When we live a life based on all the points of view of our awareness, we're constantly in a mode of seeking. We're seeking for something to make us happy, some set of thoughts, some set of feelings, some set of circumstances to make us happy. When all the while our happiness, our inherent happiness, is already accomplished, already existing, and is naturally settled as our own awareness, which is the basis of every single perception we have. So when we realize this about ourselves, for some of us it comes about suddenly, we realize it all at once. But for most of us, it's only through resting in each perception that we can really come to decisively experience that each of those perceptions is awareness. So first, you know, we hear about this. We hear that we're not a bunch of points of view. We don't really have an individual identity with all kinds of imagined characteristics that are constantly placing us in perilous sets of consequences of cause and effect. That, you know, all we really are is awareness inclusive of all these points of view. Identity is one point of view. The body is a point of view. The mind is a point of view. Thoughts are a point of view. Emotions are a point of view. Circumstances are a point of view. Other people are a point of view. But all those points of view, whatever they are rooted in our awareness. And just as our awareness is nothing but basic space, so all these points of view are basic space. Basic space with no perceiver and perceived. No seer and no seen. So first we might hear about this new notion of who we take ourselves to be. And we may even have a direct experience of it in a meeting like this or somewhere else. And it feels good. It feels right. It feels like the relief that we've been seeking, perhaps. And whenever that occurs, know that that is your true nature. That's your true nature. It isn't something fleeting or glimpsed. It may appear to be fleeting or glimpsed, but it's always present. It's nothing that needs to be attained. It's nothing that needs to be efforted for or achieved. If we try to effort or achieve it through any means other than uncontrived rest in each perception, we're going to be off in some kind of intellectual speculation and explanation of who we are. So, you know, when we've adopted many points of view in our lives, it seems to us that we've learned all these things and that it's based on this learning that we know who we are, that we have an identity, and that we're able to function in the world. So we adopt the idea that all learning is based on accumulation of points of view. And this way of looking at things, this paradigm or worldview, so to speak, of what human beings are, is reinforced in us, for most of us, at every turn. We're born completely undifferentiated awareness. We've never had a thought. You know, we don't know that we're different from anything else we see when we're born. And slowly we adopt many of the points of view of others. Self-knowing awareness elects the adoption of these points of view. Not everyone does that from the very beginning. Some people live as self-knowing awareness all their lives. Not many, but some. And for others of us, you know, we adopt many of these points of view that are reinforced at every turn in our families, in our schools, in our workplace. We grow up and have our own families. We form relationships based upon all these points of view, all the while thinking that somehow we're going to have a certain set of great points of view that are going to give us some kind of comfort and relief in life, where finally we'll arrive and have some kind of level of comfort or happiness. And some of us can even achieve quite a lot, so it really seems like we are feeling comfortable, and we can really even convince ourselves that we're totally comfortable. But then, you know, something unexpected may happen. Maybe our child is ill or dies, is hit by a car, something like that, or a loved one, something totally out of the blue happens. We fall ill with a horrible disease. And then all of that seeming well-being that was in place very often is just pulled out from under us. If you have an electronic device, could you please turn it off? And so, you know, we more and more learn to think of ourselves as all these points of view. We establish the accumulation of these as our identity, and we believe that in order to be anybody, we have to learn more or better points of view. We have to get a new job and learn a better set of points of view there. If we don't like the relationship we're in, we need to get a better relationship so we have a better set of points of view going. Or if we're in a relationship, we have to somehow rearrange all the points of view in that relationship so that they're a better set of points of view that are somehow going to give us solidity and relief. But all the while, all we're doing is adopting more and more points of view of who we're taking ourselves and lives to, in our life to be. So, you know, when we first hear about something like uncontrived rest as the way to realize our true nature, and, you know, I don't care what you call it, but I suggest that you simplify it and normalize it outside the scope, inclusive of, but also outside the scope of spiritual and religious seeking. To consider ourselves as human beings only within the scope of spiritual and religious seeking is to limit who we are into some kind of a category that requires all kinds of special trappings in order to be who we are. And that's never been necessary. If there's any category in which the true nature of being human is contained, it's contained in being human. That's category enough. Self-knowing awareness as a human being. So simply rely on the direct experience of your own awareness to understand who you are, to live as you are, and allow that awareness to just be naturally settled in every single perception. When you do so, you will find more and more that there is no more learning. There is absolutely no more learning. You know, we've grown in a certain sense afraid of ourselves. If someone stands up and says, oh, I'm Jesus, or I'm a great one, or I'm omniscient, or whatever it is, especially in the West, we lock them up. You know, here in India, we make them a guru. But in other parts of the world, in the US, we definitely lock them up, off to the nut house. But there's a very simple way to distinguish between a person who is emotionally unbalanced and a great being. It is so simple. It is so totally simple. One of us is of benefit and the other isn't, you know, so there you go. One is of benefit to herself or himself and to others. And the one who is unbalanced isn't. In some way, their behavior harms them and harms other people. So, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of. And when, you know, what I'm talking about here, it is a pinnacle teaching about being human that has been passed down from one generation of human beings to the next. What is distinct in the Great Freedom Teaching is that in the Great Freedom Teaching, this is spoken about in a way that any human being can understand. So it's not caught or captured within any kind of trappings of belonging to a certain culture or a certain sect or anything else, or even a certain category like religion, philosophy, science, psychology, or human nature. Or anything at all. It's not trapped within that. And what these teachings have always stated, oh so clearly, and what many people within these teachings, the experience that many people within these teachings have actually lived, is one of complete freedom where no learning is required. And you know, if you're wondering, well, how could that be? How would I know what to do? Well, when we rest naturally more and more, we find that we are a source of all knowledge. Everything we need to know is already present. So all of these things we might try to develop, like wisdom or compassion, things that we might try to cultivate, these are already present, but they cannot be tapped into in any way other than natural rest. They can never be patched together from a whole bunch of points of view about what compassion and wisdom are. These are already present. And I'll give you an example of that from my own life, what I'm talking about. 24 years ago, when I had this radical shift in the way that I perceive things, I had had no preparation for that. I didn't know anything about enlightenment or awakening or any kind of way to be other than the way I was. And I went through a period, many of you have heard me talk about it, a period that was a great ordeal for me. It seemed like a huge dilemma. I didn't know which way to turn. And when all of these thoughts and feelings and circumstances came up, I knew that, you know, I'd either continue to run out a story about those and probably go mad if I did, or I could just rest as the underlying basis of each of the perceptions. In the hopelessness of what was occurring for me, I recognized that each of those perceptions, no matter what they were rooted in an underlying basis. I didn't even know what to call it. I just knew when I rested, there was nothing going on. None of the stories I was spinning out about everything going on in my life. And the more rigorously I did that, the less I had to effort to do so, and the more natural it became until it was just absolutely present all the time. And in that moment where it became obvious and present all the time for me, I had many realizations. I knew, for example, how I would live the rest of my life. That I realized that not only was this true for me, it was true for everyone. And not only was it true for everyone, but that it's something that can be taught from one, given to one human, from one human being to another in a very straightforward way. It can be communicated in a very straightforward way. As it is who everyone is, it has to be directly accessible. So I realized that. I realized I would spend the rest of my life doing that. And I had never studied sacred texts or religious teachings or anything at all, but from that moment on, any sacred text I picked up, no matter how obscure it was, from any culture anywhere in the world, I understood it completely the first time I read it. No matter how esoteric it was, I understood it and I could write and speak a commentary on it. So when I'm talking about no more learning, I didn't go to school. That's not what I learned when I was in school. No one taught me how to do this. I didn't go around trying to pursue this knowledge, accumulating it, and then applying all the points of view I'd accumulated to all these written texts. I just knew. I knew. So just as I knew that all people know. We all know. And one of the other things I knew, and I knew because of its evidence in my life, is that I was a nicer person. You know, I had a good time getting along with myself for the first time. I'd never liked to be alone before that. Suddenly I enjoyed my own company. And what's more, other people enjoyed my company a lot more. So I saw that, you know, there was a natural sort of benefit that just emanated from this awareness that is absolutely pristine and immaculate, this relief that is the basis of every perception. So I'm not sharing a philosophy with you that is something abstract. I'm talking about the way I've been living my own life for a long time now, and also countless other people I know. So this isn't just, including people here in this room, this isn't just something that I dreamt up and maybe someday it'll happen. It's something that I've actually been sharing with people for a long period of time, and other people as well are realizing their total freedom and this reality of no more learning. So, you know, what I'm suggesting here is that we're always completely at ease. Who we are, who everyone is, the best possible description of what a human being is aware basic space. That's all we need to know about ourselves. Aware basic space. And rather than this aware basic space being trapped within a body, it's a vast expanse. It's a beyond vast expanse. It's an unknowable expanse. Always wondrous and always rich in every single perception. There's no perception that needs to be done away with. Every perception is aware basic space, every single one. As long as we continue to think of the basic space is one thing and all the points of view another, then we're involved in what's called duality. But we've never been dual beings, and we never will be dual beings. Even if we take ourselves to be dualistic, we never are. We always are who we are, no matter what's going on. You know how when you boot up your computer and you see that Windows blue that covers the screen? And that Windows blue, it's nothing but pure space. You know, if you open Microsoft Word and you open a new document, there's that white thing that looks like a piece of paper on the screen. What is it? It's pure space. You know, the blue is pure space. The Word document is pure space. You type a bunch of letters on it, all these different points of view. It looks like there's something there, but they're all pure space. You know, you can press a key, boom, and it's all gone. Well, this is just like every single perception we have. every single perception we have is no different than this incredible living metaphor of the electronic world that we've manifested. And you know, all of that is rooted in our awareness. So not only are we this basic space as human beings, but we have become very skillful at manifesting forms of it. Like the internet and electronic technology altogether. So, you know, it's just like say you open a Windows document and you write a big story about yourself. I was born in such and such a place, and my name is so and so, and I'm this gender, and this is how I've lived my life, and you have your whole autobiography. It can, you know, in Microsoft Word, you could be writing forever. There isn't any end to the number of pages you could crank out. But all those pages would be pure space. You see, they'd be nothing but pure space. No matter what we've taken ourselves to be, no matter what we've displayed on this endlessly long, infinite Word document, it would all be pure space. So this is the same as any kind of story we write within our basic space. It's always pure space. We've never been bound by it in any way. We can come to understand this a little bit first intellectually, perhaps in a meeting like this, get a taste of it through being around other people who are living as basic space. And then maybe next, you know, we'll actually realize part of the time and then all the time that all our points of view are actually within our awareness. We could call that kind of an intermediate state. It doesn't have to be for some people, you know, it can be boom, that's it, but that's very rare. For more people, it's gradual, and there is this intermediate awareness of all points of view being included within the basic space of awareness. But then there is a completion of that, so to speak, and that completion is this realization that one is only basic space. Aware basic space, and that there's absolutely no separation. There's never any separation. And everything is the radiant luster of this, with nothing left out, with no ways of behaving left out, with no thoughts left out, with no emotions left out, with nothing left out. So we're not trying to get into any extreme state, like nothingness, non-existence, no thought, emptiness. These are all states. But they're you know, sometimes they're taken to be awakening or enlightenment, but they're not really. They're anomalies of point of view, but they're not complete freedom. When we realize the true inclusiveness of the basic space of everything as what we are, there's nothing left out. There's nothing that needs to be changed. And does that mean we behave in some kind of uncontrollable, immoral, unethical way? No. As I pointed to earlier, who we are emanates what is beneficial. So we don't have to be afraid of ourselves. You know, if we find ourselves in some kind of out of control behavior, that's a good time to seek support from a teacher, or, you know, someone who's already integrated all of these negative points of view, so to speak. And I've seen this happen over and over again, too, when people are growing familiar with themselves as perfectly pure basic space. At some point, usually, a lot of negative points of view might come up. Perhaps they're going along and they feel so free, and oh, it's all so wonderful. And this was the case for me too. Then this horror appears all of a sudden on the horizon. All these things that have been kind of pushed to the side. Oh yes, maybe these wonderful points of view can be pure awareness, but those negative points of view, I'll keep them over here in the closet. They couldn't possibly be pure awareness. So we might find ourselves doing some things where, you know, we totally embarrass ourselves and everyone else notices it too. And it's okay, you know, I've seen it all. It's okay. It all settles down. Because see, without that absolute inclusiveness of everything that we are, we can't possibly tap into this wonderful resource of compassion that's already existing, unless we accept ourselves as the totality and everything about us. We can't possibly have the unleashing of the floodgates of compassion for everyone and everything. It just can't happen. So you see, all this comes through rest and immediate perception, where we don't have to hide out from anything. We don't have to hide out from anything about ourselves, not anything we've done in the past, anything we're doing now, or anything we might do in the future. There's nothing to hide from, and no reason to hide. There's no escape hatch anywhere. We can't possibly get out of awareness, no matter what we do. We can commit suicide, never be born, do whatever it is, but there's no escape. There's no release from awareness. Awareness simply is. Birth and death and life appear in awareness, just as all else appears in awareness. Awareness is the constant. So when we really come face to face with ourselves as human beings, it's this that we can rely on. It's this that we can really count on. It's this that we can know to be the great resource, not only of ourselves as individuals, but for all of humankind. I think we'd all agree that the solutions humankind has put together from point of view, well, you know, we can say things like the planet is on the precipice of disaster from war, from ecological disaster, from whatever it is, but, you know, it's not like the Earth has done that to itself. Humankind, through a grand display of its points of view, has created this kind of circumstance. So in the same way that we've made choices as individuals and groups that have ended up in this, so we have within us the power, the immense potency to come up with solutions that are beyond anything we could think of from point of view. You know, it's just like if I had tried to formulate the Great Freedom Teaching through different points of view, I could have never gotten anywhere, because I would have been bound at every single turn by what everyone else was doing. All the other points of view, and what this one said about enlightenment, and that one said about total freedom, and that would be my direction. But when we rest, we find solutions that are of an incredible benefit. You know, instead of just a few people waking up here and there, many people come totally into the fullness of who they are through what can't be hidden, through what's never been hidden. You know, how could what we are ever be hidden? How could it be so rare? How could it be for only a few elect people? It's really absurd. So you see that it's impossible to really inquire in a profound way into anything unless we rest as this ultimate resource of what we really are. There's no big authority who's going to come along with some kind of solution that's going to change everything. If there is some great being that's going to appear next, you know, like all these great beings we hear about here and there, that great being is going to be the global human community living as it really is. That's the great being that we need right now. That great being that everyone claims is their birthright. So I'm not talking about some kind of impersonal or personalized awakening, not either one of those. In fact, I'm not even talking about awakening. If you want to call it that, that's fine, but I'd suggest that you just call it being human, taking responsibility for being truly human. And the reality of that is This is what I talk about as freedom in immediate perception, a freedom in immediate perception that each person is responsible for, and a freedom in immediate perception that is completely supported by what's called the Great Freedom Community, a worldwide community that's completely open to everyone, where no one is alone anymore, where if you have a question about all this and you're caught in some sticky points of view and you feel you can't possibly be awareness, you're doubting it, or you've flipped out with anger or whatever, desire or whatever it is, where immediately you have support. So, you know, this is the way things are now. We're all knitted together. We're all knitted together as a human family. For the first time in human history, we can easily communicate with each other in many, many ways, 24 hours a day. Isn't that amazing? We have this complete openness of benefit that's entirely available to everyone at every turn. And we're manifesting it more and more in many different forms. So, if you want to keep showing up here, I can tell you that it will change the way you look at things. It will definitely change the way you look at things and the way you're living. And if you don't believe a word I'm saying, keep coming back here and conviction will dawn. Conviction will dawn. I've seen many doubting faces in the last 24 years. And I've seen many of those doubting faces walk in with not being able to believe or trust, or, you know, not knowing where to turn next. I see the doubting face come in, and by the end of the meeting, there's just the sun of awareness shining. You know, so no matter how you're feeling, I'd suggest that you really guard what you've heard here and that you use it as your eyes, that you use it as your eyes and that you respect it in that way. Truly respect this about yourself. Know that it's not some kind of magical mystery tour, something that all of a sudden somebody's going to zap you with a big Shakti blast or whatever, and you're going to just be totally free forever. You are Shakti. You know, all Shakti is the energy of the wondrous display, the magical display. Shakti, like everything else, is rooted in your awareness. There would be no Shakti without the root of your awareness, aware of the Shakti. So, you see, all that you are is already existing. It's fully in force and fully empowered. And the more that you expose yourself to other human beings who are living life the same way, the more you'll realize that about yourself in the same natural way that you may have taken yourself to be a bunch of points of view or not. So, you know, there's nothing that is untoward or mysterious. It's never been mystified. Who we are is very overt. And it's just a matter of coming fully to terms with it, of just finding that complete rest that's always available in every perception, no matter what it is we're doing. So we can be running around, we can be totally involved in our job as whatever it is, a cake baker, or a CEO, or president of the world, or who knows. We can be riding our bike in a marathon, or around the block, or cooking, or, you know, whatever it is. We're always entirely free. We don't need to coax ourselves into a special bodily posture or anything else, or a special set of thoughts, or a way of focusing our awareness. The most direct route to freedom with no story whatsoever is freedom in immediate perception. We're always entirely free no matter what it is that's being displayed in our awareness. Do you have any questions? Are you feeling better? Good.
I'm aware of this awareness, and I've come to India to rest in it. I've taken this time to come to India to rest in it, to become more apparent. But I've, especially the last few months, been through a lot of turmoil, and I know I've got a lifetime of point of views which keep popping up. Like this morning, I was with George doing dynamic meditation to help release the emotion. I see it like that, so that it doesn't keep clouding my presence. So would you recommend techniques and ways of... So I've got this idea that I must empty myself of emotions and call it points of view. You're suggesting we don't even... But I don't want my awareness resting in the stories. I want the awareness resting in the awareness. So am I misleading myself by thinking I must empty myself out so that awareness can just be awareness?
Yes. Nothing needs to change. In resting as awareness, say one of these points of view come up about emotional states or whatever they are, just see that that emotion, whatever it is arising in awareness. It vanishes on its own without a trace. Even if you tried to hold on to some kind of emotional state, say all of a sudden you felt really anxious, and you tried to hold on to that anxiety and be constantly thinking about it, it would be impossible to do, because all of these points of view, no matter what they are, they're like the flight path of a bird in the sky. They vanish naturally, leaving no trace. But if we hang on to them and try to create a story about them, oh, I'm having this anxiety because such and such is occurring in my life, and it all started when I was a child, and I didn't have my diaper changed for 2 days, or whatever. You know, I'm just giving an absurd example, but you understand what I'm saying. When we create a story about how all our points of view are involved in a system of cause and effect, then we have this whole story about a simple point of view of anxiety. Whereas if we rest as awareness, just as the basis of that perception of anxiety, it's only in that that we can see that the anxiety appears and is freed simultaneously in our awareness. So when the anxiety or whatever the emotion is comes up, we only can elect two things as self-knowing awareness. That's to rest as awareness or to make a story about the anxiety. So this is the simple, direct approach. You know, it's what I call sometimes ultimate yoga. Ultimate yoga. And it's very unerring and being freeing, because everything truly is included. We hear that all the time in teachings of non-duality, that everything is included. But then we might hear that there's an ego that needs to be fixed, or a psychological state that needs to be somehow fixed or brightened up, or whatever it is, or that our thoughts need to be of a certain kind. But that whenever it's made to seem that there's some kind of a repository for many points of view, then there are two. You know, there's awareness in this repository of points of view called an ego identity that's fixated on or identified with. The simple way to understand who we are is awareness inclusive of all points of view. If it's a point of view of an identity, it's still a point of view. If it's a point of view of an ego, it's a point of view. But all of these points of view, no matter what they are not things that we came up with. They're all conventions that we adopted from others. So when we get to know ourselves as we really are, just resting as awareness, free in the immediacy of perception, realizing that all these points of view, no matter what they are arising in our awareness, it's very, very profound. It's very powerful. And for some people can just come to these meetings over and over and over again, and it all naturally occurs, or it might even occur the first time that it's totally realized who one is. And sometimes there are people who have a more difficult time resting naturally. But we have a number of different teachings that are directed to different dispositions of people to really support people in resting naturally in a direct way, so that if there are certain points of view, like emotional states or whatever they may be, that seem to blindside from time to time, we have a way of supporting people in resting directly in those circumstances. But it's always, there are no gimmicks or techniques of any kind other than natural rest. That's it. Complete ease in the moment of perception.
So I can't process, I've got an analytical mind, and I feel if I can really understand what's happened, then I can let it go. But I know what you're saying. Don't even need to do that.
I can see you understand what I'm saying, and you're absolutely right. Because the moment intellectual speculation or explanation about all this enters in, it's like chasing a rainbow. Have you ever tried to find the rainbow, or when you see it, or oh, maybe there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, or whatever it is. No matter how hard we try, we're never going to find the end of the rainbow or the rainbow. The whole display of everything that pours out of us is the rainbow. So, you know, we are the rainbow. That's the reality of that. But a rainbow is a mirage, just like, you know, if we're thirsty, we might see a mirage in the desert. But all these points of view, no matter what they are like a rainbow or a mirage in the desert. They are vividly apparent without truly existing. And what do I mean by that? They're vividly apparent. In other words, it's obvious that there's an appearance that's perceived as awareness, but at the same time, the only substance in that appearance is awareness. So the only true entity of whatever is occurring is awareness. The appearance has no beingness of its own other than awareness. Something more?
I'm interested, you say it's available for everyone, and I know this is true, but Shanti Maya's life guru, and she talks about when the fruit is ripe, it falls from the tree. Mm-hmm. So would you not suggest there needs to be a certain quality? Soul or
quality
of soul to be able to come to this awareness?
I wouldn't speculate.
It's just my analytical mind trying to
about anything. You know, I don't enter into debates about all this. Like, is it sudden or is it gradual? Well, it's beyond speculation. So the moment we enter into a bunch of speculation about it, it's just more of a story about it. I can share with you my own experience. I, you know, for me, there was a very brief period of rest before this became fully obvious to me at all times. So, you know, we could name or label that all kinds of things. It just is whatever it is. You know, I'm not saying anything at all to you that Shanti Mai, who is a friend of mine, would not approve of. There's nothing going on here that is outside the scope. It's Shanti Mai offers it in a certain way, within a certain set of circumstances. So, you know, if you want to look at it in that way, you can, but it's just like each perception is a ripe fruit. You know, we could look at it in that way too. Each one of these perceptions is a ripe fruit. And if we want to pluck that fruit, we can. In other words, if we want to pluck it and really taste the nectarous quality of it, then we have to realize that it's awareness. If we take it to be something, you know, like something that can get us, like an afflictive emotional state, then we've made it into something that's other than awareness. But yet, you know, we can't look at it and examine it from all sides intellectually and prove that it's awareness and feel free. All we can do is rest as the basis of that perception. That's all we can do. This is the direct route, the easy way, that requires no techniques at all, and that not only gives us this ultimate freedom that is available to each one of us in human life, but also allows us to tap into this reality of no more learning that I'm talking about. You know, that most of us, we might just have a glimpse of that a few times in our lives where we have some kind of brilliant realization, you know, E equals MC squared or whatever it is. But to be living that reality 24/7 is an entirely different matter. And this is the truth of every single being. Every single being. So, you know, I mean, there are endless circumstances of point of view that we can fascinate ourselves with. We all know that. There's never been more information or literature available to all the people of the world than there is now about this subject matter. But so, you know, there are many circles of fascination we can get involved in, but the direct route, the way that is totally straightforward, unerring, and guaranteed for every human being, and the one that every human being can assume responsibility for right now, is freedom in perception. There's never been a freedom other than that that is complete. Something more? If, for example, if we feel that, you know, we're trying to attain something and that at some point something big might happen, then we're really living in hope and fear. We're hoping that something will happen, but if we're hoping that something will happen, simultaneously we're fearing that it won't. So this is the world of opposites, whereas in immediate perception, we're always entirely free, but really without even considering intellectually the notion of freedom. So the reality of what we are, this pristine awareness as basic space, the totality, is completely free without any intellectual speculation about being free. The freedom is experienced directly as a felt sense of total well-being that doesn't need to be described or sought, and in which there is no hope and fear. There is no speculation about confusion or bondage versus freedom. It just is what it is.
say, you know, we're in some kind of a situation, and say, you know, our thing is anger, you know, something happens and we just blow up, you know, we totally flip out. And this is a pattern we have. We don't like it in ourselves, and our friends don't like it either. You know, when they see it coming in us, they run the other way. You know, it's kind of gotten to that point. Or maybe if they're really good friends, they try to talk to us about it or help us out in some way. So this happens. We feel this volcano about to go off, and even though we've tried to do all kinds of things about it, it just feels totally out of control. No matter what we've tried, psychology, philosophy, going to gurus, reading books about awakening, reading other self-help books, no matter what point of view we've tried to slap on it, the antidote has not worked. So, you know, we hear about this freedom and immediate perception, and when this, we feel our volcano ready to go off, rather than letting it pop, we just rest, rather than go off with the whole story of the lava flow all over ourselves and everybody else in our domain. When we taste that total freedom, and we have that complete capacity to give so beneficially to ourselves in such a direct way, there's nothing that can be more convincing than that about who we are. There's absolutely nothing that can be more convincing, because we haven't found it in a book. You know, no one else has told us about it. It's rooted in our own perception. No one else is trying to get us to do something or making us do something. We elect, but we're never, you know, even say we have this anger problem, and so we go to an anger class and they tell us how to control it. You know, when your anger comes up, drink a glass of water, or leave the room, or, you know, go on a 3-month retreat, or, you know, whatever it is. Well, that's not going to do anything about the anger. There's a time will come when the volcano's going to blow. But when we're free in immediate perception, we're free in all perceptions. Nothing can blindside us. The more familiar we become with our absolute freedom, no matter what's going on, nothing can blindside us, no matter what it is. Catastrophic illness in ourselves or in someone else we dearly love, complete changes in the world situation that would alter the course of events of our lives. You know, we couldn't get our money out of the bank. The Chinese were lining all the hillsides of the U.S. or India or whatever it is. You know, no matter what happens, we're free. You know, we're free. We're not blindsided. And this is from freedom and immediate perception. It guarantees complete freedom, because it's inclusive of all perceptions, not just a few special perceptions that fit in some kind of category that's intellectually speculated about what enlightenment is. So, you know, this is the freedom that can carry us through every circumstance in life, including our own death. So any perception we're facing right now, no matter how much we might feel it has a grip on us, if we compare that to the perception of our own death and realize that when we're free in immediate perception, what we're really doing is preparing for our own death, then, you know, it can support us to see what's really so. You know, what's really so about living. For most of us, we live our entire lives with death as the context of our existence without even knowing it. And there's always this kind of fear, either subtle or overt, that we're gonna die and we're gonna be scared to death when we do. We won't know what to do. It's gonna be something that kind of pounces on us. And we never know when it'll come. Well, this great and epitome kindness that we give ourselves of freedom and immediate perception, it prepares us for all perceptions, including the onerous death. So, you know, that when we're free in the perception of death, we're free in all perceptions. When we are no longer afraid to die. I read a story about a great being, and on his deathbed he said, "My greatest accomplishment is my joy in dying." When we rest as we are, totally complete, right here in this perception, we realize that there's nothing to fear. You know, there's nothing to fear anywhere. Not death or anything else. Any other questions, comments? Did anyone bring a guitar or a trombone or a tuba? Or if you have a question, please do not hold back.
My follow-up question is slightly intellectual, I guess. It's like also what I've learned not to ask. But when the body's in deep sleep, there's obviously no identification, individual identification. When you wake up, it comes back, the awareness is back. As me. But why can't I remember, well, obviously, the state of not being identified with this body when I wake up?
Rest is best, Adrian. When rest is best. When you rest, you will find that this rest as awareness, that the luminous quality of that, the lucid quality of that, will begin to pervade all of your life, waking, dreaming, and sleeping. So from point of view, we fall asleep and it feels like we fall into a state of total ignorance. Where, you know, there are all these images we can't do anything about. And maybe we might read a book about lucid dreaming or one of those things and we realize a few things about that. But when we, you know, we can try to drum up all these kinds of bodily states. But when we just rest, we find that more and more everything about our lives has a luminous quality, including dreams at night and deep sleep. So this luminous awareness is present 24/7, no matter what's going on with us. But it all comes from rest. We can't force ourselves into that state. It's naturally occurring, naturally present. We introduce ourselves to it as our living reality, grow more and more familiar with it, and as we do, we notice that it penetrates everything. The reality of what we are penetrates everything. Not as a mental act, just as the reality of what is. A reality of aware basic space that is naturally present and entirely responsive. What could be better than that? Did that answer your question, Adrian?
Can I pick something else?
Sure.
another thing I entertain myself with. A couple of days ago, I picked up a book on Ramana, and one of the little lines I read, he said, "You are what you think." And so then I started entertaining myself. The quality of my thoughts are affecting the point of views, and it's better to have good, positive points of view, prayer-permeated points of view, as opposed to fear or the turmoil that I've been used to, worry. And I think that's the purpose of mantras, to raise your vibration, to have a more positive point of view, which helps you then resonate and rest in the awareness. Am I right with this?
Well, I can only support you in the easy approach. So, you know, what I am suggesting to you earlier, I use the phrase ultimate yoga, but I would also use the phrase secret mantra. This is the secret mantra. For example, you have a state of fear. Like you said, you've been having fear and worry. You have the fear, the appearance of fear, the mirage of fear comes up. If you try to put an antidote, a band-aid on the mirage of fear, so you put a band-aid of prayer on it, then you have two points of view, two mirages, prayer and fear. But a point of view, a mirage can't affect a mirage. You know, all the elements of a mirage are still a mirage. The ultimate prayer is to realize that the essence of that fear and worry are impeccable, pristine, immaculate awareness. That is what consecrates, consummates every single thing as sacred or holy, if you want to look at it from that angle of vision. You know, from another angle of vision, we could say that is what consecrates everything as the quantum field. You know, so there are many ways that we could talk about this. The easiest way is aware basic space. So, you know, it's no perception needs to be refined into something else.
I find that there's a time when, I can't rest in awareness and my head just goes crazy. So it's better to have my head going crazy with something positive as opposed to my old stories. So, would you support
that, or no. Knock it on the head as well? If you pursue that, the rest of your life will be spent like that, trying to form better, you know, good points of view, and hold on to those and get rid of the negative points of view. Whereas if you rest in the immediacy of every perception, baptizing every single one, so to speak, as awareness only, then you'll be free in all those perceptions. You'll be totally at ease no matter what's occurring. It's just like when you look at a fresh-faced, innocent person who's unmoved by anything, it's not because they have some points of view that they're trying desperately to hold on to all the time. It's because they're totally free in the immediacy of all perceptions, no matter what they are, whether they're their own internal perceptions or they're a bunch of circumstances in the world. I know you're very committed to this. I know you're extremely committed to freedom. And you didn't show up here by accident. You know, it's not a coincidence. So the rigor that you've been applying to your spiritual life now can open into an entirely new domain, and that is the domain of complete freedom in all perceptions, where every perception, no matter what it is a prayer.
Thank you.
Are awareness and light kind of interrelated to something? Are they interrelated, light and awareness?
Light? Awareness has a luster. So, you know, we could call that luster light, but you see, none of these things can be separated. So the luster of awareness, its luminous quality, its lucidity, is inseparable from the awareness. But at the same time, it's neither dark or light. Yeah, it's not light as in the opposite of dark. Or, you know, even if we said original purity, that it's fundamentally primordially pure, awareness is primordially pure. We're not saying pure versus impure. We're saying it's pure and that it's never been anything other than awareness. There's no thing that has ever been anything other than awareness. So in that sense, it's pure. Pure in being unborn, uncaused, unconditioned, uncreated. Adrian?
If everyone in this room was in awareness,
well, first of all, everyone here already is awareness. there's nowhere to get to. It's not like we're going up to Gamut Glacier and Gangotri to get our awareness. It's already present. It's already right here. So, you know, like, I don't take anyone to be their points of view. No one can ever convince me that they're their points of view. It's just everything is wholly positive basic space. You can intellectually speculate about it, but it's like trying to take a ride on a cloud. You know, no matter how much you wanted to ride on the cloud, you'd never be able to. You'd fall right through. So you see, all of these perceptions are cloud-like in their appearance. There's an incredible appearance there, but there's nothing. It's just like, you know, when you're flying in an airplane and you look down and you see those billowing clouds in the blue sky and they look so real and wondrous. It really looks like you can make something out of them, like put some reins on them and take a ride or build a house out of it. It's just so beautiful. It beckons, but there's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing there. So, you know, say that we're all aware of who we are at all times, that it's absolutely evident in everyone in the world. Well, who knows what that would be like? I know what it's like for me, and I know what it's like to be able to live my life with so many people who are totally free. And it's just completely easy. You know, when there's nothing going on in anyone, it's completely easy. And when I say nothing going on, I don't mean everybody's just checked out in some kind of oblivion. I just mean, you know, there's nothing going on. Because there's just this total openness of being that's completely available. So, yeah. As Martha Stewart would say, it's a good thing. Yes.
From the position of being at rest, could you talk about the relationship with the body and the relationship with the world from at rest?
Is there anything in particular you'd like me to talk about?
just the association. I mean, there's still there's a lot of talk in the right about disidentifying from the body, from the world, and so on, this pure consciousness itself. And what about this association with the body? Is it necessary to consider yourself remote from the body, remote from the world? And what that, does that mean about your relationship to the vast perception? What is?
Uh-huh. Well, complete freedom never adopts an extreme. So it would be the adoption of an extreme to consider oneself pure consciousness disidentified from the body. That is not some kind of complete state of humanness. That is a mental illness. So that's what I would say about that. And when we are really totally complete in ourselves, we adopt no extreme, and we are completely beneficial to ourselves in every conceivable way, knowing our own body in a way that we never could have known it from point of view, and being a benefit to our own body in a way that we never could have been from point of view, and also being of tremendous benefit to the world in ways that could never be imagined. So I'm not talking at all about any kind of extreme. These things that talk about pure consciousness with disidentification from the body and the world, that is not about being complete. It's about adopting an extreme position. It may feel tremendous relief of point of view, but it doesn't take it all the way.
It seems like it would be minimalizing experience, but you know, distilling it back to the source of it as noumenon, you know, as opposed to phenomenon, which is considered to be unreal. So these states of samadhi, samadhi and so on, many of the saints that have established in that are disidentified from the body, and they even leave the body.
Mm-hmm.
Who they are as consciousness, as you say, never does. I think you said so many words. And there is no death, it's just a disappearance of the world and the reappearance of the world and so on.
Well, you know, what about you and your own experience?
It depends on defining that.
What is your own direct experience of who you are right here?
Awareness only, and there seems to be something else. Be aware of.
Awareness only, yet there seems to be something else to be aware of. Is that what you said?
Perception. Uh-huh. Being aware of myself, there's a perception of phenomena.
Uh-huh. So is your awareness inclusive of the perceptions of phenomena? Is your awareness as the perception of phenomena?
Well, I know that to be true. You know, most of the time there's a sense of separation. But
okay.
I have seen that.
You've seen that, but it's not permanent and obvious all the time.
Right.
All right. I suggest, you know, totally keep your focus on yourself and your own direct experience of who you are. Set aside all the mental concepts you've heard from others, all of them, and rely only on your direct experience. Hold nothing back. Don't sell yourself short by adopting other people's mental concepts. And if you feel there's something that calls you to more, keep resting as awareness as that is revealed. To just realize that all points of view or all phenomena are within awareness, is to realize something that gives one great freedom from point of view, as you already know. But also, you see, the quality of who you are is omniscient. It's not just aware. It's the inseparability of omniscience and awareness. So why not take it all the way? You know, this is what I suggest as to you as no more learning. That about you which is really true, where all philosophical systems collapse. Not only all the ones you've heard from other people or in books you've read, but your own. So, you know, just enjoy the adventure. Allow that inclusiveness that you're already experiencing to completely dissolve into holy, positive, basic space as what you are. That holy, positive, basic space that has absolutely no separation. Yeah, well, you know.
Everything just reveals itself, and you just follow what is.
That'd be adopting an extreme, too.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there might be elaborate plans, a business plan, or nothing that's excluded. You know, it could be a business plan for IBM, or a United Nations manifesto, or a grocery list. But, you know, so there's no extreme that we need to adopt. We're not adopting some kind of state of doing anything we want or passive irresponsibility or no plans need to be made or no commitments. Those are all extremes. When we just rest as awareness, we have an unerring sense of what to do and how to act. Whether a plan is needed or not, whether a commitment is needed or not. We unerringly are responsive to what will benefit ourselves and benefit the whole. That's complete freedom. Yeah. What's your name?
Ravi.
Ravi. We'll sit quietly for a few minutes before we end.